Get this and get it straight. Crime is a sucker's road. And those who travel it wind up in the gutter, the prison of the grave. This time a car hop knocked me down a flight of stairs, an honest woman was strangled by a green silk sash, and a simpering dandy was shot to death. All because of a run-of-the-mill accident 500 miles away. It happened like this.
From the pen of Raymond Chandler, outstanding author of crime fiction, comes his most famous character in The Adventures of Philip Marlowe. Now, with Gerald Moore, starred as Philip Marlowe, we bring you tonight's exciting story, The Vital Statistic.
Hey, boy. Give me a paper, will you?
Paper, mister? Yes, sir. What do you like? Racist, comics, or classified?
How about some news?
Star? Here you are. Thank you. Hey, guys!
Get out of my way!
Hey, take it easy.
Drive away from here. Fast.
Hey, wait a minute. What is this?
You've got to help me. I'm being followed.
Oh, just a minute, sister. I think
the light's green. Drive, will you? Hurry, please.
Okay. She was streamlined from close-cropped hair the color of a smoky sunset to low-heeled slippers brocaded in bronze. And in between, a dress that conformed as close and smooth as lacquer on a Chinese vase. I made four turns in four blocks and pulled into the curb and stopped. She stabbed a look at me with a pair of sharp, jade-green eyes that said life had always been nothing but a calculated risk. Then she stepped out of the car and smiled.
You were a big help, brother. Thanks, and goodbye.
Not just like that, baby. Come here. I don't like being left out on a limb.
Now, look, you did me a favor, okay, but we drop it right here. Trouble, you wouldn't like it.
On the contrary, it's business, like keeping my own nose clean. I'm a private detective, but I didn't issue any invitation for you to jump into my car.
A private detective?
Yeah, who's chasing you, baby? The law? You can tell me out here on the street or inside over a drink.
I'll take the drink. I need it.
Yeah.
Maybe I need you, too. This might be a break. I'm Mrs. Terry LaBar, and you're,
Marlowe, Philip Marlowe. Who are you running from, Mrs. LaBar?
A woman in slacks. I don't know who she is or why she's following me, but every time I look back, she's there. This is the second day. Booth?
Yeah, sure. Say, look, why haven't you talked it over with your local policeman?
Are you working for me, private detective?
That all depends.
All right. I'm a merchant, Chinese silks. Not a little shop for 6% profit, but wholesale quick with cash at 40%.
Uh-huh. So what's the point?
No police. All it takes is a rumor of police, and I'll have doors closed on me from Seattle to Mexico.
Good evening. May I get you something?
A martini, please.
Make it two, waiter.
Yes, sir. Right away.
This gets us back to the woman in slacks, huh?
Yeah. Here, Marlowe. 50 and 50. $100. I want you to locate that woman, find out who she is and why she's after me. Will you?
Not without a few more facts. For instance, could she have some connection with your business?
No. I have two men working with me. A strong one named Harlan Casey, who sees that my cash gets safely to where it's going. And a smart one named Joe Temple, who knows what to buy with it. She doesn't belong to either of them.
Oh, you sure?
Positive. Casey hates all women. Even me, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Temple. Well, Joe's a wonderful guy.
You hint like a woman falling in love with a fellow named Joe Temple. Care to talk about it further?
Why not? Temple and Casey have been in San Francisco all week on a deal. A big deal. It'll make or break us. Every cent I have is tied up in it.
Oh. Well, what about you and Joe Temple?
Yeah. Well, perhaps this will explain. I planned to go away this weekend, but I changed my mind because I didn't want to miss his letters. I know it sounds funny, but it's true.
Those must be some letters.
They are. Like the one I got this morning. It's half business, all right. Complete account of how hard he and Casey worked for me yesterday in San Francisco. But the rest of it is to me, personally.
I don't want to sound old-fashioned, Mrs. LaBar, but what about...
My husband?
Yeah.
That was a mistake I couldn't live with. One thing I can't stand, Marlowe, is being lied to. It leaves me vindictive. I'm suing for divorce right now. Vince LaBar is a human leech, as cold and spineless and parasitic as the real thing.
Okay, but why would your hating your husband put a woman in slacks on your trail?
I don't know.
All right, Terry, I'll worry about that, too. Any idea where I can start?
Just one. I pulled a switch on her yesterday, Marlowe, for about an hour. I trailed her to the corner of Wilshire and La Cienega, then lost her in traffic. There are several dancing schools around there. Is that worth anything?
Maybe. What kind of car was she driving?
We were both walking. She's tall and brunette, and I've seen toes with nicer eyes.
Not enough. Can't guarantee anything.
I'll keep my fingers crossed, Marlowe. Here, take the $100.
Oh.
Do what you can to report to me at my place, 204 Beechwood Circle. Okay?
Pardon, sir. Your drinks. 2 martinis.
Oh, thanks. Here you are.
Oh, thank you, sir.
To your success, Private Detective.
To your health, Silk Merchant. Drink hearty. Slugging it down was no way to treat a good dry martini, but I figured it was time I was on my way. I drove out to Wilshire and La Cienega and slowed down enough to look at all four corners. There was a drugstore with a special on garbage cans, a drive-in called Scotty's, a branch of the Bank of Los Angeles, and a flying red horse over a mobile gas station. I drove on again when I spotted a pair of black slacks going into a dancing studio a half block down. It looked like a lead. After 2 hours of staring at knobby knees and shorts and bulging hips and bloomers, all knocking themselves out for a mythical Klieg-lighted future, I was finally convinced that it was a dead end. Now I got back into my car and headed up into the hills for Beechwood Circle in the slim hope that Terry could give me something more to go on. Her house at 204 was low and dainty and half hidden behind the tough, slender grace of a bamboo grove. The walk was guarded by a white marble lion of Korea, and the front door, when I finally found it, turned out to be a sliding panel in a wall of oriental lattice work. As the door slid open, I was looking down the barrel of a snub-nosed pistol held very steady in the hands of a hard-eyed brunette in a pair of black slacks.
You've been looking high and low for me, haven't you, Peeper? Ever since you left that dame.
I might have been.
You're not the brightest character in the world, in spite of what you and your friends think. I spotted your car when she got in. It wasn't too tough to tag.
Where's Terry?
Sleeping off a hangover from better days.
Skip the chatter. Where is she?
Come on in and look. And that's no suggestion, sailor. It's an order. Move. Over there to the top of the stairs.
Sure, sure.
That's a good snot, boy. You're late, you know. I got what I came for, and now I'm in a hurry. Turn around.
Look, sister.
Shut up! I have me landed!
Oh, there were 10 stairs down to the basement. And with a shove reinforced by the 45, I hit all but the first 3. By the time I worked all the kinks out and was back upstairs again, she was gone. I started through the house, then slowly from one room to another, turning on lights as I went, looking for what I knew was going to be a very sick client. When I got as far as the study where somebody had gone through the death drawers with what must have been a snowplow, and I still hadn't found Terry, I got that numb feeling in my stomach. I started out a side door that opened into the patio. But then I heard a whistle from the front walk. I cut back through the house instead and waited near the door.
Terry! Hey, Terry, can I come in? It's little Joe, the Frisco kid. What happened to your weekend trip, honey? Who are you? What do you want?
Hiya, Temple.
How do you know me?
Mrs. LaBar hired me today just after she canceled the weekend. She gave me a rundown.
She hired you? What do you mean?
I'm a private detective named Marlowe.
Why would she hire you?
Because she was being followed by a brunette in slacks. She didn't like it, and that's all the information you're going to get, so relax.
You say Terry isn't here? Isn't home?
Not so far, no. Come on back here to the study, Temple. I want you to look at something. Somebody's gone through the desk in an awful hurry.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Maybe you know something about what's missing, huh? You and Mrs. LaBar were fairly close, from what I'm told.
The letters. The letters are gone. Terry kept my letters in this bottom drawer.
Ah. By the way, Temple, where's your sidekick, Harlan Casey?
Oh, I don't know. We both left San Francisco yesterday. He hates to fly, so I assume he took a train. He ought to be here in L.A. now. Well, you don't think Casey's mixed up in this, do you?
I don't know. Could be.
Vince LaBar. That's who it was that got those letters. It was Vince LaBar. They were really love letters. The business part was nothing. And LaBar is the dog-in-the-manger kind of guy who wants everyone to be unhappy if he...
That fits. That fits, Temple. With a smart lawyer, your letters to Terry becomes grade-A material for a countersuit for divorce. Sure, he could make it stick and also get a fat settlement under community property laws. Now, listen, here's what you've
Marlowe.
Got...
Marlowe, it's Terry. Terry!
Temple,
Terry!
Wait!
Terry. Look at her, Marlowe. Look at her.
dead.
Marlowe Matthews, there's a dead one out here. A woman, you got a pencil?
Always. Go ahead, Marlowe.
I'm at 204 Beechwood Circle. The woman was a client.
Yeah, go on.
She was strangled with a green silk sash from her lounging pajamas, Matthews, sometime within the last, I'd say, hour.
Yeah.
Her name was Terry LaBar.
Hey, wait, Wolf. Terry LaBar. Wait a minute, Marlowe. Listen, we got a teletype here from a sheriff in Empire, Oregon. Come in 5 minutes ago.
So?
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Says some guy named Jess Freeman from L.A. was killed there this morning in a traffic accident. Was loaded with big dough, but doesn't look the type. And the only other identification on him was a business card from one Terry LaBar. Yeah. You got a helpful answer for that?
Wait a minute. Temple, do you know anything about a man named Jess Freeman? He was killed in Oregon today in a traffic accident and had one of Terry's cards on him.
Freeman?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember him.
No dice, Matthews.
Who are you talking to?
Joe Temple, one of Terry LaBar's associates. He's here. Never heard of Jess Freeman.
Yeah. Okay, Marlowe.
Uh-huh.
Well, they sent his prints to Washington. A tattoo says he was in the Navy once. They'll pin him down. Now, about out there, any idea who killed him?
Yeah, maybe a brunette in slacks. I think I know where to find her.
Well, it's dandy. Sit on it till we get there, Marlowe. I'll be right out.
Wait a minute, Lieutenant.
What?
Look, right now it's only a hunch, but if I move fast and quiet, I might be able to develop it into something worthwhile, okay?
Okay, but keep in touch, Phil.
Yeah.
I still can't believe it about Terry Marlowe.
Now, look. Why don't you just go home and take it easy? I'll tell Lieutenant Matthews where he can find you, huh?
Thanks. 1310 Marlborough Drive.
Right. Now, tell me, you know where Vince LaBar lives?
Yeah. The Laverne Apartments on Rossmore.
Uh-huh.
He's got a suite on the top floor. 7A.
7A.
And if it's any help, he drives a new green Nash sedan. But I thought you said that it was that brunette who...
I did. And if Vince LaBar can't lead me to the lady in long pants, I'll eat my shirt. What's more, Matthews, we'll see to it personally.
Yes, what do you want?
Some quiet conversation with Vince LaBar. I'm Philip Marlowe, private detective.
Oh, how exciting. Had I known you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
Oh, you're breaking me up. I was hired by your wife tonight.
Your wife
is dead, LaBar. She was murdered.
Terry murdered?
Yeah. Now, if you don't mind, I'll come in, huh? She was killed because of a packet of letters, LaBar.
Oh, no. The
kind that are a cinch to cause a big stir in anybody's divorce court. Stir big enough to swing a countersuit in your favor.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Letters. Joe Temple's letters to Terry, the ones you arranged to have stolen tonight.
Oh, you must be crazy.
Her death wasn't part of the plan, LaBar. That was one of those bum deals. A robbery that got out of hand, wound up as a murder.
Oh, no, wait.
Now, where is she, LaBar? Who's the brunette in slacks, and where do I find her?
You get out of here, or I'll have the police
help
you.
Oh, shut up. You not only steal letters, but ashtrays, too, huh? Like this coy little number here, a doghouse. Scotty's Drive in Wilshire, La Cienega. Okay, LaBar, that's
Stand
all.
Still.
Oh, now a gun, huh? They say you're yellow, LaBar, but you're not. You're just stupid.
There's a terrace outside those doors, Marlowe. Those with the iron grill. Go on out there. Go on. I don't think Terry's dead, and I don't think she hired you. I think you're working for that lousy louse, Joe Temple, and if so, he'll need a battalion of private detectives before I'm through.
You're through right now, LaBar. You're too dumb to see it.
Go on. Clear over the rail. Keep your back to me. It's 7 floors down, Marlowe, to a concrete driveway. Just in case you get jumpy.
In just a moment, the second act of Philip Marlowe. But first, most people like to know what to expect. But on at least one CBS show, a great part of the fun is in what turns up on the spur of the moment. That show is Groucho Marx's Great Quiz, You Bet Your Life, heard every Wednesday night on most of these same CBS stations. Now, with our star, Gerald Moore, we return to the second act of Philip Marlowe and tonight's story, The Vital Statistic.
The moment Vince LaBar and the Courage caliber 32 he held in his right hand made it out of the apartment and on the run for the elevator, I kicked through the plate glass door. And I spent the next 2 minutes alternately swearing, straining, and nicking myself while I played contortionist. In and out of the fancy snake grillwork in my wrought iron cage until finally I reached the inside handle. I was free out and over to the telephone in a big hurry. Because for my money, the icing on Labar's voice left Joe Temple someplace on the short side. What the life insurance people call good risk.
Hello?
Marlowe, Temple, listen hard. Your life's in danger.
What?
Labar, you had him tagged from the first. He's after those letters, all right.
But what about the girl in slack?
Well, I think she might have a connection with a drive-in on Wilshire and La Cienega, a place called Scotty's Inn. I'm going to check it. Now, tell me, any word from Terry's muscle man yet?
Harlan Casey?
Yeah.
No, nothing, Marlowe. But look, can't I meet you and talk
to
you?
No, no. Vince Labar had a gun and a short temper when he left here. I'll make his work any easier. Just stay away from open windows, Temple. I'll call you. Scotty's Inn was eating on the run in the finest California tradition. A mammoth circle of steel under glass painted a dazzling yellow and blue, surrounded by a half a dozen cars containing teenaged couples with smudged lipstick and the giggles. The second after I pulled in and parked, something in slacks with false eyelashes, a waist you could span with a handcuff, and a fixed frontline chorus girl smile put the card marked Ginger against my windshield. Handed me a menu that still had the froth from an earlier customer's milkshake in one corner.
Well, it be, mister.
Just coffee, Ginger.
Cream?
Information.
Oh, it's you again.
Huh?
Look, baby, what I told you on the phone 10 minutes ago still goes, huh?
About what?
About Rose Facetta, the girl you described. Long black hair, a nice shape, you're infatuated, but you don't know the name and address. So it was nice. I gave the name, told you to look the address up in the phone book, period. Don't be so lazy, baby.
Wait a minute, Ginger. I didn't call you before, but that dime cup of coffee will bring you a $10 tip if you tell me who did.
Hey, you want the guy who called. I don't know any names, but you're not him.
Mm.
He didn't talk up like you do. But what's all the fuss, baby? Rose Facetta's got a guy. She's spoken for. Besides, a handsome fellow
sweetheart,
like you should...
Sweetheart, this is business, strictly, believe me.
Oh.
What's the address? Come on.
2428 Havenhurst Drive, bottom floor.
Thanks. Here. Here's a 10 I promised
you. No. Never mind.
Hmm?
The name was free to him, so why should I charge you? Besides...
Besides what?
I like the way you said sweetheart. Come on back sometime, will you, baby, when you want my morning coffee?
Okay. When I want to bless the pitch of Ginger, you'll open my back. She might be busy spiked with those. Lovely. September 2024. Hey, Haven Vinners. All right, I'm sending up a the... Blah, 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 damn, yeah. In fact, I'm going to be law. Time for me to be...
What do you mean,
just about
all the answers?
Is there a little lieutenant in Massachusetts about the
I know guys think they can act. I've done too many cases. No. Listen to me for a minute, will you, Matthew? Look.
The adventures of the Philip Marlowe, bringing most famous are perfected in the moment written by Robert Edwin and Eugene Jerry. The blah features Charlotte, Elliot, Doris, George, Lillis, the detective, Matt, by. This is composed by Richard. I'm going to go to the house.